Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine Podcast Radio. You're about to listen to an episode of Your Everyday Cyber Podcast with Limor Kesem and Diana Kelly. We live in a cyberspace almost all the time, but do we know enough about living in it securely? Join this dynamic duo as they take you through an exploration of daily cyber activities and how you can make better choices to make them secure for yourself and your family. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Welcome to Your Everyday Cyber. I'm Limor Kesem, a cybersecurity professional and advisor to some of the largest corporations in the world, also one toddler's mom. My co-host is Diana Kelly, a cybersecurity expert who is the CTO and co-founder of Security Curve. As someone who did have a lengthy single life, I have to say online dating is a science and an art that you do not learn in school. And it can be hard to navigate these waters. You may end up kissing a few more frogs than you ever bargained for. But nonetheless, we spend most of our time online these days, and meeting online has become the most popular way for couples to connect. And that's especially in the US, according to a recent Stanford study. So half of the people in prime ages for dating between 18 and 29 year olds say they have used a dating site or app to connect with potential new partners. And online dating is a great way to connect with those around you without having to hope to bump into charming strangers on the street. And a lot of people do it. So we're here to talk about it. Diana, have you done any online dating?
You know, I actually did not. It's partly because I'm such an introvert and I was really nervous about going online early, when it was really early dating sites. And then I met my spouse IRL at work. So I kind of missed the whole online dating. But two of my very, very close friends actually met their spouse, their respective spouses, through online dating. So I know it can be a really, really positive experience for some people. I also have friends that have been through it. They've had some really bad experiences being called out, you know, terrible names, being body shamed, and being stood up or ghosted. So it's not all cheese and daisies out there for sure. But I know that it can be really positive though for some people.
Yeah, it can be. And I have friends who also found love, but it can be scary meeting strangers. And it's like everything online, you know, there are dark alleys you just don't want to walk into, whether you're a man or a woman, doesn't matter. And this is why we're here. We're excited about this week's guest, Kristen Judge. She's the CEO of the nonprofit Cybercrime Support Network, and she's an expert in the risks of online dating. Thank you, Kristen, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Such an important topic, and I'm glad you're covering it.
We are too. Let's start with the positives. I mean, online dating apps use nifty algorithms to find out more about us and find us new matches. And that sounds like a good thing to me. But there is more to it, I'm sure. I mean, apps also use our location and other private data, right?
Absolutely. And this is what we talk to consumers about all the time, is you have to make a sort of a risk analysis on what kind of information you want to give away and how much you really enjoy that app or that game you want to play. I play Candy Crush. I know I'm giving away some data, but it doesn't know my location. So, but I do make that choice because at the end of the day, it helps me to, you know, to relax a little bit. But you have to pay attention to which app you're on. Is it a reputable one that other people have used? And what are you willing to give away?
Yeah. Okay. Another Candy Crush fan here. There is an Opinion Matters study that found that 53% of US respondents said that they lied on their dating profile, but a lot of it was kind of human stuff. You know, it's natural for humans to embellish things a little bit. So they might, you know, make themselves an inch or two taller or maybe 10 pounds lighter. Is there an acceptable amount of misrepresentation before it becomes dangerous?
Well, I don't know about you, but before they took the weight off of your driver's license, I never put my true weight. So, you know, right. I don't know. So yeah. The Secretary of State doesn't come after me, but sure. You know, I think we even do that if we meet someone in the bar. We don't start with all of our baggage. Hopefully, you know, you start with some of the good things. You might embellish a little. Certainly, that's just part of, I think, the mating game. So, yes, I'm sure there's some you know, showing your best picture, not your worst picture, maybe talking a little bit about how much you love sports if you're a woman, and maybe you don't love them as much as you may claim. But I think that's completely fine. That's not really what the issue is that we're trying to combat at CSN.
Okay. That's true. Online dating is great when it's well-intentioned, but it can also be a way for predators to look for potential victims and you know, all kinds of predators. I saw that the FBI has put out some stats on romance scams where people are kind of groomed into believing that they have an online love, and they end up getting robbed of massive amounts of money that criminals are asking them to send. What kinds of bad actors are misusing online dating in search of prey?
Well, this is the biggest issue that people come to our website. We have a website called fightcybercrime.org, and it's where someone can go and recognize or report or recover from a cyber incident. We also have scamadvisor.org that we did with Google. And I'll tell you, the number one thing that people search on those sites is romance scams. And they spend over 8 minutes on average on our romance scam page. And if anybody's ever done, you know, website analytics, no one spends 8 minutes on any page, but they're looking at the Google reverse image. And they're looking at, how do I figure out if this person really does love me? But it's the number one thing that people come to us looking for help with. And people may say, oh, well, it's probably just old people or just young people, or it's all ages. It's men and women, almost straight down 50-50. And this is a serious issue that we're actually starting some new programming to help serve these victims.
Wow. That's heartbreaking to just even hear, you know, people trying to figure out, does this person love me? You know, it's just so heartbreaking. Are there, and it's not just do they love them or not, but are they trying to take advantage too? Are there any tells or red flags and profiles that users could look for to weed out the truly bad actors?
There absolutely are. And it's not just the profile where you look for the red flags. We, every Valentine's Day, we put out our Red Hearts, Red Flags infographics. And we have some great stuff on Fight Cybercrime that you can go look at in our resource library. But one of the main things is they usually don't want to meet you in person. But we found now that they're getting a little more sophisticated, even if they are a Nigerian outfit, which is where a lot of the folks that have been criminally prosecuted are coming out of Nigeria for these romance scams. Even if they live there, they'll pay someone in the US to go have lunch with you and you know, use their picture. They're getting that sophisticated. So someone can say to their family, I did meet him or her. They came to lunch with me. And so you're all wrong. This is a real person and they really love me. So the issue is not necessarily just if you see them in person or not, but if they ask you for money. Just in general, if you are in a new relationship and you are not living together or, you know, engaged or, you know, seriously engaged in the same home, in the same city, don't give a stranger money. No matter how much you think they love you and you love them, don't send money to people you really don't know off of the internet.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you know what? I want to say that a lot of times, very intelligent and educated people fall for this. So this is an everyone type of, you know, cybercrime that we want to avoid and be more aware of. And some bad actors are just really good at coming off as legitimate. Like you're saying, they're getting sophisticated. So if someone gets to the meeting in person phase, do you have tips on how to kind of do that safely and have these issues in mind?
Yeah, we hope that people will continue to use the in-app way to connect with people. Unfortunately, sometimes where they, oh, this is going well, I'll give them my cell phone number, or I'll give them, you know, my location or something like that. You may not even want to have your last name in your dating app, or you may want to have a fake last name until you actually get to meet someone and are dating them for a bit, potentially, and you can let them know, this is not my real last name. But once someone has your name and your phone number, they can pretty much find out where you live. And we know that cyber stalking, I was just talking to some people who work in that space, that has gone, again, exponentially up. Cyber stalking is real. If you do meet someone online, even if they weren't meant to be a fraudster trying to steal your money, but you don't want to continue the relationship, they may then cyber stalk you. And if they have too much information, they can do that better. So don't give someone yourself and, oh, they're so nice, we'll just start texting instead of working on the app to send each other messages. Or I'll give them my full name, then we'll meet in person. And it went so well, I'm going to tell them all about me and they'll have all this personal information. that can be a problem because you really don't know someone in the first month or so that you get to meet them.
Cyberstalking sounds really scary. Can you explain a little bit more about what that means? And what I had a friend who someone actually created a website with their name isaslut.com is for cyberstalking. I mean, what other kinds of activities occur in cyberstalking?
Yeah, so we've been helping a few victims. One that they broke up with someone, and that person they broke up with was mad at them for going on and going out with someone else. So the person they broke up with basically found a way to create 15 or 17 different Facebook pages and then would come in and try and write terrible things on their Facebook page. And then they'd move it. Ugh. They'd hack into their email account and take over their email and send out nasty things to their friends. And they did revenge porn, which is where they take a picture of someone, or you share pictures. Unfortunately, the world we live in now, I guess fortunately or unfortunately, part of the way people date, especially if they're not in the same city, is they send naked pictures of each other. And I tell you this in all seriousness, I've told my younger 20-something kids and all of their friends, if you send someone a naked picture, chop your head off. Yes, they could Photoshop your head onto it, but as long as you don't have any tattoos in the picture, you know, you might be able to say that's not me. But don't send a full picture of yourself with your face and everything ready to go, because that gives them the perfect ammunition to then threaten you to put that on your Facebook, to send it to your friends. I mean, cyber stalkers can just get to part of every piece of your online life, and they don't let up because the law enforcement really can't do much to stop them right now. We need stronger laws.
Well, that's crazy. There are online dating website and dating apps. Is there a security difference between the two of those, or is like one better than the other? I'm getting the sense of maybe apps are even more dangerous. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, an app does give certain permissions to look at your phone. So if you're on an app and you say, yes, you can hear my microphone, you can see all my pictures, you can get to my contacts, you've got to look and see what you're giving up and your location. When you go to a website, they may be able to track cookies on a website if you go to, you know, website.com, but they're not actually, hopefully, depending on your settings on your computer, tracking you or listening to your microphone. Now, they could be if your settings are not good on your computer either. So you just have to be due diligent and be a good consumer. Just how, you know, when you pick a hairdresser, you probably look up some information about them. You find out, you know, where they're located, what their prices are. You put at least 5 minutes into picking a new hairdresser, right? Put 5 minutes into looking at what you're giving an app or giving a website when you sign up. And I think if people got into the habit of doing that, it's just a good practice for the world that we live in. I love the internet. I'm thrilled we have it. I'm glad we have dating apps. I have also had friends who've had great successes. So we don't want to discourage people from using them, but just be a good consumer.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, and even sometimes about, you know, people feel weird, like, oh, I looked up somebody on Google after I started talking to them. And is that weird? And it's like, you make such a great point. It's before you go to a new hairdresser, you're going to look them up. So it's just really due diligence. It's not anything creepy being a consumer that's educated. But given that, Kristen, if you had a son or daughter that has decided they're going to go online now and they want to start internet dating, what advice would you give them to start out with, other than we just learned definitely chop off your head if you're going to send compromising photos. What else?
You know, I actually encourage it. I've talked to my adult children about it. I think it's great. I've talked to other friends about it because, especially during the pandemic, they're not going out to work to meet people at the workplace. They're not even in college classes. I have a college student that doesn't go to class. Mm-hmm. How are they supposed to meet people right now if you're in your 20s? And, you know, that is the way to meet people. And they say, the research shows, and I'm not sure, you know, how people come up with this, that 15% of online profiles are fraudsters. So basically what I tell them is, if you want to use that kind of way to meet someone, I think it's a great idea. You know, be as honest as you can or want to be on your information so you get a good match. But then also, don't send money to strangers. If we just said the one thing, don't send money to any strangers. Don't send money to anybody you have not been in a long-term physical in-person relationship with. Right there, then there wouldn't be romance fraud if people just followed that one rule.
That is so true. I agree. And thank you. Thank you so much, Kristen, for joining us today and helping our, you know, everyday cyber listeners get a better understanding of the risks and the benefits of online dating and dating apps. I think it's a necessary thing. And romance scams, according to the FBI, is a $605 million deal for what's going on online these days. So thank you, everyone, for being with us today. Please follow the podcast and get involved. You can actually suggest subjects that we can host on our podcast. You can reach out on Twitter at @cyber_everyday. We're also on LinkedIn, and you can email us at youreverydaycyber@securitycurve.com. Our podcast page has more details for you and the resources from each episode, including today's episode. You know, if you heard Kristen mention a few websites on fightcybercrime.org, scamadvisor.org. There's a lot more on Cybercrime Support Network. So anything you need is on our podcast page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and stay safe out there.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Your Everyday Cyber Podcast with Limor and Diana. If you learned something new and this conversation made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.